I hope that this exercise has helped a little to help you understand that ministry happens all the time, that it is our very presence or non-presence or ability to listen or non-ability to listen, to respond to other people's needs, to be in relationship, our work as ministry, our sharing of our talents. Everything we do is ministry. Now, it can be bad ministry or it can be good ministry. You know, there are different kinds of ministry. We can be a real bad listener, and that's not very effective ministry. So to develop our skills is part of becoming whole. And the church indeed has a place in developing our wholeness, in helping us develop these skills. So often we set up all the programs in the world, but we are not trained to deal with the programs. Mm-hmm. We do not know how, so we think we need money to hire an expert to come in to do the programs in the church. Not so. If people in the church, in the leadership roles, would develop the abilities and enable lay people to be ministers, you wouldn't need the experts coming in from the outside. Or you wouldn't even need the program in the church. You would be making sure, because of your skills and abilities, you would be making sure that your secular government, etc., community, implemented those kind of programs for the community. By the church offering them alone, you automatically sometimes eliminate the secular world simply because they will not become part of a church program. So the best use of our resources and the best way is to make sure our churches train us. Just as Ron was saying, his pastor, you know, he's lucky to have a pastor who trains, who makes sure the people get some training in how to be people. How to be whole people in their church so that they can go off to the secular world and work for Crosswalk or whatever else is needed. You don't have to bring all the programs into the building of the church to be effective citizens in your community. Okay. Want to read just a few things and you try them on for size. This is an excerpt from one of the magazines, Interlutheran magazines. In 1973, the Lutheran Church in America asked worshipers across the country to write the things for which they were most thankful in their daily work. The comments of 25,000 respondents gave birth to 36 categories. Far ahead of all the other categories was abilities and talents. So these people are mostly thankful for their abilities and talents. Category 6, with only 3% listing it, 3% of all these people listed God's personal involvement in daily work in the form of guidance and help. So you see the lack of connection between gifts and talents that people, Lutheran people, recognize, the lack of connection between their gifts and talents to God's personal involvement in their daily lives. They don't see the connection at all. Only 3% saw a connection, and these were Christian people. David Preuss, who is the president of the ALC in our country, said this in last September in one of his publications. There is only one class of Christians, all are sinners, saved by the grace of God through Christ. Clergy and lay, women and men, babes and adults, blacks and whites, learned and illiterate, faith in Christ puts all of us in one class. Furthermore, there is no vocational hierarchy in the Christian family. Clergy have an important office in the Christian church, but so do all other Christians in useful service. Heirs of the Reformation ought to understand that, yet we continue slipping into the notion that clergy are full-time ministers and laity are something else. Every useful work can be just a job or a godly ministry. That awareness needs to be planted both in our heads and in our hearts. I encourage you to take up your ministry, whatever it is, and use it as a vehicle to give glory to God and loving service to your neighbors. It is possible to make this generation the one that fully captures consciousness of the ministry of the whole people of God. And that laos, L-A-O-S, is the Greek term for the whole people of God. And that was all there was in Christ's day, the whole people of God in ministry. Somewhere, as I said earlier, along the line, the clergy decided they were a little bit above all that, and so they developed the word clergy, the kleros. And then they became the kleros and the laos, which is totally unbiblical. Steve Hitchcock, in his last publication of New Ministries, he was here last summer on staff, delightful person, wrote this in his latest newsletter. He quotes Garrison Keillor. It's one of the hardest things to understand about the gospel, that Jesus hung out with publicans and sinners instead of joining a church and getting active in serving on the building committee. Sometimes the greatest this is Steve writing now. Sometimes the greatest obstacle to ministry in everyday life seems to be the congregation. We get involved in the administration and maintenance of church organizations and buildings. Then there's no time or energy left over for the people and situations in our families, on the job, and in the community that cry out for Christian compassion and discipleship. Laypersons feel frustrated that so much of parish life is trivial. They feel they are being asked to waste time on going through the motions. They don't understand why clergy don't do a better job of running things. They feel guilty about not spending more time in church activities, or put off by those volunteers who lord it over those with less time and interest in parish activities. When asked to teach Sunday school or chair the stewardship committee, laypersons can proudly say, "No, my ministry right now is focused on my work. Let's get together over lunch and I can tell you the exciting challenges I'm facing at work." If enough people turn down, quote unquote, church jobs, then congregations will be forced to evaluate just how essential those tasks are to the congregation's real mission and ministry. That's Steve Hitchcock talking. The LCA bishop, Dr. Crumley in Lutheran Partners, which is an ALC-LCA publication. This is the May-June issue last year. The ministry of the laity, these are some of his priorities for the year. The ministry of the laity, there is a new emphasis, much needed and long overdue, on the ministry of the whole people of God, now taking place in all quarters of the church. We Lutherans ought to find that an easy emphasis to make, for it resonates strongly with the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. But for some of us, as ordained ministers, an emphasis on the ministry of the laity, no matter how valid, is very threatening. What is our role as ordained ministers within the whole people of God? This partners is distributed to all clergy in the churches. That's why he's saying it this way. How do we define the essential character of the office of word and sacraments and yet make room for the many other ministries that are needed in the church today? And beyond that, how do we equip lay people for their ministry in the world? The idea still persists that the more a Christian spends in service to the church, the more one has fulfilled the obligations of his or her Christian calling. But what about ministry in and for the world? The church is making progress in dealing with this issue, but we have by no means answered all the problems it has generated. I could go on and on and on and on, but just to quote a little bit about what is ministry in work, as one of these, Steve Hitchcock pointed out. What is ministry at work? You know, some of our work that we do sure doesn't seem like ministry. John had a job before he came here. What were you doing? Drilling cement?
During January it was.
Mm-hmm.
My other job was just basically working in the production area, working for the area of an ice cream factory.
How did that seem like ministry to you?
It's quite difficult to pinpoint. Well, everyone there knew I was going for the ordained ministry,
I meant as the jobs you were doing, not what you plan to do in the future, but right then and there.
That's how it went down, because I was sort of the authority figure. Well, John, you're going to be a minister. What does this mean? Trying to straighten things out by saying, look, there's no absolute right or wrong for doing this, whatever you're going to do. Just don't hurt yourself or someone else. I don't know. I'd say my ministry more towards the people that I work with was at the tavern after work. Dealing with those poor and happy people that didn't want to work.
So you didn't see a whole bunch of connection with drilling cement or in the production line. You didn't see a whole lot of connection with what ministry could be in that position. It wasn't real.
I'd have to look at it further. I'm just not catching it right now. I'd say work by example. Witness by example.
Yeah. Part of it then might be attitude, how you approached it, and your association with the people that you worked with. They sort of looked for you as leadership, it sounds like.
Yeah, in more ways than one. It's a family business, not as the family.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Too, so. Which puts a different flavor into it, doesn't it?
Whole new political spectrum.
Thanks for sharing that. Hans Rudi Weber, a German theologian, wrote a little book some years ago called Salty Christians, after, the salt of the earth and all of that. We are the salt. It'll be a pretty flat existence without the salt, in other words, that kind of thing. One of the sections which is really, really hooked me, having worked for years in the secular world, the chapter on work and vocation. How is work ministry? How can you be on an assembly line, putting little pieces of something together and passing it on to the next person to put the next piece on? How in the world can you say, is this really what God wants me to do? And sometimes we leave those jobs to find out what God really wants us to do. And some end up searching all their lives to find out what God really wants me to do. And they never find out. For me, God wants us to do and be what we are, where we are. And sure, if we have another goal we want to reach, fine. But look for God in what we're doing and how we can be best ministry, do our best ministry in that place we are and in that right now situation that we're in. Little story about work and vocation. Freemasons were building a cathedral. When they were asked what they were doing, the first Mason answered, "I am putting one stone on another in order to build a wall." The second said, "I am working so that I can purchase food and clothing for myself and my family." But the third Mason said, "I am building a house of God so that people may come and worship and be joyful." The story reveals three quite different attitudes toward life and work. We can live and work mechanically, putting one stone on the other, adding one day to the other, or we can live and work for ourselves, as the second one, who was working to put bread on the table. For the small world of our family and friends, but as Christians, we have another dimension in our lives. While doing routine work, such as tilling the ground, or washing dishes, or serving on the dish team at Holden Village, or whatever, Anne's up there planting these little plants in this dirt all day long, and you were helping her too, weren't you, Lisa? Some pretty mundane sorts of jobs. Or being a doctor, we are called to help build a world in which people can worship God and be joyful. Called to build a world. Pretty big task. Called to build a world in which people can worship God and be joyful. So to see the pleasure for others in the flowers that will bloom in Holden Village this summer because Lisa's helping Anne put little tiny pieces of nothing into little dirty pots of dirt, or whatever else, the guys crawling under the dirt in Lodge 2 to put the pot shop up there in that mess and grime and grub. Are you helping with that, John?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What will be the benefit for the people of God when that's all done? Yeah. To look at the big picture is what we're called to do, and what we do is service in that way. As we discovered here, most of these things can be lumped as what? Is there a word that fits all these?
Service.
Mm-hmm. I think also of the word relational. They're all with people. Either ourselves, which we certainly are a person, right? Or with others, but most of it is all relational. And what was God's manifestation on earth for us? Jesus Christ, relational. Everything he did was relational. Which is exactly what we're called to be as little Christs. So, with that, any questions or comments?
I got a comment.
Okay.
Who wrote that book?
Hans Rudi Weber. HANS-RUEDI.
Is it yours? Or?
Weber. It's mine, and it's old, and it's excellent. And that's all I can say because David might be able to tell you how to get this. Seabury Press no longer exists. It's been it's been associated now, put together with another company, and he knows what it is. And I don't know, this would be good in the bookstore, but I don't know if he can even get it. But I think I'll ask him, because it's good. There's lots of books in the bookstore on Ministry of the Laity. Bill Deal has written two wonderful books. One is Christianity in Real Life. The other one is Thank God It's Monday. Those two, I would suggest, if you're interested, to read, and they're both in the library, too. You had a comment?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying there, what the man says. That our ministry is always happening, no matter where we are. It's an opportunity to let it happen in our workplace. I guess the problem for me is believing that and not getting hung up and feel like I'm being trapped in a place I don't want to be, that I have to do it to survive at this time. I know that, you know, there's plenty of people out there who are really not too happy where they are.
You mean job-wise?
Job-wise, and they feel trapped.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to minister when you feel that way.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that is a dilemma.
It is.
When you really feel down about what you are and what you're doing, it's really hard to feel up like you're ministering to someone else. What can you do about it?
I think just like right now, speaking about it,
mm-hmm.
and recognizing, mm-hmm. and trying to understand that, yes, you know, that's something that I have to overcome, have to work mm-hmm. on, and have to believe that ministry still can go on,
mm-hmm.
Even though it's not easy,
mm-hmm.
and there's struggles in all of it. I don't know what else
yeah.
to do about it.
When I have a longer time, like a weekend retreat situation, or like in the summer when I'm able to teach 3 or 4 days in a row, I deal with that, you know.
Okay.
And the support group, the whole ministry of support
right.
for each other. So many times, often the church calls us to be on this committee and that committee, or sing in the choir, and we are go, 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 doing, 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 and trying to accomplish all those things that were on the list yesterday, and we never get ministered to ourselves. We never get ministered to. We are always ministering out there to someone else. And we have hurts too, and we have needs. And, you know, sometimes I used to go to choir practice, and I would be so exhausted and so down. I was no benefit to anybody. I was so, because I had a horrible day. And
right.
nobody ever says, how are you doing? They say, turn to page 39, we're gonna sing the next song. You know,
yeah.
And there's no chance in the church to be ministered to. Support group ministry, I think, is the most crucial thing. We cannot minister to others until we are ministered to. And I think Elmer mentioned Virginia Satir's book. Some of her writings. People Making is a fantastic book. and it deals, she uses the analogy of the pot. If your pot, in other words, your insides, if your pot is not full, you cannot spill over to anyone else. If you're only half full, you need filling first before you can spill out. You can't ignore the fact that you're only half full. How can you spill out to other people and help all these committees and all this work, that all these things that the church council decided needed to be going on at our church, you know, that's driving us crazy? If we're not full, it's impossible. And we do a rotten job of it, and then ministry is really bad because we are not going into that particular program with the right attitude at all.
We
get burned out fast.
Do we have to be completed full?
What do you think?
I don't know. It's just about the camp.
I think that's a good question. I say no. Yeah.
Because what we have to use that too. Not. It could be easy that we'd get too caught up in getting. I have to learn. I have to study. I have to get this. Instead of using the thing that we have now. But to find out.
Giving out of weakness and emptiness. In that process of giving is filling in itself.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, when we give what we have, that's maybe the way we can take more.
I can see truth in both, though. Empty.
You need to be filled. You got to be constantly being filled.
You can't be completely empty. Yeah.
I think part of what you're saying is that other people fill us. They help us get filled. We see in others our own filling process.
A lot of people don't have any filling whatsoever in their workplace or their home or anywhere they go. They have no filling, zip. They cannot fill, they cannot give. You know, there's many people, many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't give because they don't know how to give.
We're built to be filled by emptying, by giving, and somehow magically as Christians, that process is satisfying, filling.
Yeah.
I think too that it's important that we start giving where we are at, and through that realize hopefully that we have something to give already now, rather than to get caught up in the thought that, well, sometime when I know more.
Exactly. We'll never get filled if we're waiting to be filled.
Yeah. And I think also sometimes when we give or we minister to others, we are actually being ministered to at the same time, that it fills us up.
Exactly. And I guess when I was saying filled, I don't mean an ongoing process that takes, you know, days and days and months and maybe years. I mean, you know, right now, am I filled enough to minister to you? Or am I feeling so lousy that there is no way, you know, did my day yesterday go so badly, or did I have a problem that empties me to the point that I cannot satisfactorily function by trying to fill someone else today, or do I need to take time for myself, take a walk out on the trail or something in order to get back to where I can spill out again? That's probably a better way to put it. It's not an ongoing, you know, today I'm this full, tomorrow I'm this full, you know, it's not an ongoing, lengthy thing to be.
It might help to think of it in terms of needing to be refilled or replenished,
right.
Refreshed.
Exactly, and we all need that. Yeah, we all need that. And if we don't need that, we're fooling ourselves. And how many people get so burned out so fast? Social work is a prime example. What did we? Where was it that we were hearing about the social workers?
Last night, year stay.
Yeah, the burnout rate is tremendous. There's no refilling of their pots.
Right.
None at all. So.
For very little.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Right. Not enough. Right.
I think it's interesting when you think of filling of the pot. I think that's kind of a lifelong thing. But I think that you come close enough a lot so that if it's bumped a little bit, which would be relational, you can spill, but obviously never be full and filled. So you spill a little bit, then you get replenished a little bit more, and then you get bumped and you spill a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I could ever imagine myself being a completely full pot.
And by the same token, hopefully there's no holes in the bottom.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
Our minister used the analogy, same with, the line with that is a car being filled up with petrol.
Mm-hmm.
Put it around all week, using up the fuel that's rejuvenated on Sunday or whatever it is.
Good. Any other comments or questions about this? Let's get in a position where we can see the VCR.
How long is it? I
think it's about 25 minutes. Tell me what the loudness is.
Not too bad.
Is that right?
Proclaim my word and example the good news of God in Christ.
There's a little
of I will God help. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons?
This is a group joining a church.
I will with God's help. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people? Just that he's all rolled up, ready to go.
Oh, don't mind him. His
way of taking up his lack of personality. I'm Wendy Clark.
I know you. I saw you in San Diego and Virginia Woolf. You're wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Sure, Walker. And unless I miss my guess, you're going to be very well this content.
I'll tell the director you're here.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Thank you all. How is everybody today?
Wet. I'm nervous.
You must be Jenny. Well, there is no reason to be nervous, Jenny. In fact, we just might have some fun. Uh-oh. I've heard that one before. I'm going to have you do some improvisation.
I knew it. Beginning acting 101.
You mean there's no script?
There will be. But I want you to begin by creating your own situation.
Excuse me. I thought this was for a film you're doing about...
Right.
Well, I can't say that I'm all that familiar with it and without a script.
A good actor can create anything.
We were talking about religion.
The basic idea of the film is that anybody can do ministry.
I thought ministry was something only ministers can do.
Okay, you're talking about ordained ministers, and it's true. Ordained ministers do have special roles that they're set apart for. But everybody in the church is supposed to do ministry, whether they're ordained or not. Maybe it would help if you would define ministry for me.
Well, actually, I want you to define it in your improvisation. Because what ministry is a difficult situation. But basically, I would say that it's a kind of gift-giving. God has given us the gifts of love and life, and we become ministers when we share those gifts with other people. Now, the way you give away those gifts depends on the situation, who you are, what the other people's needs are. But whatever the situation, it's something anyone can do.
Even actors?
Jesus began with a fisherman, a tax collector, and a prostitute.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Are you saying that ministry is kind of like caring for people?
Well, sure. But there's something special about ministry. And that's the fact that Christ is all tied up with it. We do ministry because Christ loves us. And we want to pass that love along to other people so they can experience it too.
So ministry is being like Christ?
Or at least acting like Christ.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, it can mean different things. You see, Christ brought comfort to some people, others he got pretty upset. But the one thing he did was always bring something new to a situation. Something that touched people, made a difference. You see what I'm getting at?
Well, we can give it a try.
All right, let's begin with a typical church. Show me some of the things that people do in a church.
Excuse me, I think I left the cat in the oven.
What's the matter, Bobby? Can't you do improv? Or didn't they teach you that in comedy school?
Uh-oh, here we go.
Well, what's the name of the place? You know, I can't remember. But I know it's on the front of every matchbook.
George, why don't you... Visiting the sick.
Trinity Church, may I help you? Managing the church hall?
Taking care of the facility.
Assisting at worship. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor.
Running a food club. Serving on church committee.
Teaching Sunday school.
All right. Good. Now, how were those things ministered?
Well, some of them were ways of helping people, some kind of reaching out.
But wouldn't every function in the church be ministry by definition? I mean, assuming that ministry is what the church is all about. Good point, George. And most people will probably agree with you.
But I think that the real challenge of this film will be to take people beyond the church and into the world. I mean, where is ministry at work or in the home or anywhere else? Sometimes that's a lot harder to figure out. Let's see what we can come up with. Let's begin with a job situation.
Is he in a good mood?
What a tough day.
Great. Well, then what you can. I hate to do I know. Right. Problems? No, no. So, how's it going?
Well, okay, I guess. You want to see me about something?
How's the new inventory control program working out?
Well, I haven't had the time to get it online.
Anything we can do up here? I used to be pretty good at software.
Well, it's not really a software problem.
No.
No, to be honest with you, it seems to be a staff problem.
How's that?
Well, it's really only Jack Bender. You see, ever since you promoted me above him, he seems to resent my being there. And nothing seems to be getting done other than the day-to-day stuff. I'm just running around putting out fires, and Jack can't see his way clear to tackle the long-range project. And it makes the job harder.
How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about Jack?
No, I mean, how do you feel about the new job?
Well, frustrated, for sure. I hear you gave me this promotion, and I want to do well, and I think I can, or I never would have accepted it. And I don't mind getting in the extra hours, because I want to make it work.
How about Sally feel about you taking the new position?
Oh, she's been real supportive. Although I don't think she really understood exactly how much time I'd be spending with her. But the extra money's been a real big help, but with the new baby and Sally quitting her job, this thing with Jack is just bringing me down. And you mentioned Sally. Well, I just wish something can be done because I don't like bringing this stuff home with me.
How about your old job? You miss that at all?
Well, it was a lot easier, that's for sure. And I like the hands-on part of it. But management is a real challenge, and I know it'll work out.
You know, Bob, you were really good at what you did in research and development. One of them.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do.
Actually, I really didn't. Jason left the company. Well, I'm not sure that what I did was the best for you or the company. Anyway, I haven't found a replacement for you in your job.
I guess I did run things pretty smoothly.
Would you consider taking it back?
Well, gee, I don't know.
You don't want to lose you, Bob. You're too valuable.
Well, there are a lot of things that I still want to do down there. You know, to make it even better. To be honest with you, I need that extra income with Sally staying home for now.
If it helps, it seems your old job is worth more to us than what we were paying. I think it's worth the salary here right now. What do you think?
Can I think about it?
Think it out. Talk it over to Sally and get back to me when you can, all right?
Okay. And, thanks a lot.
Oh, that stuff about Jack Bender. I don't think it was really all his fault. He's really a pretty good guy. Anyway, thanks again.
So I'll grant you that may have been good management. But how was that mystery? Wasn't what the boss doing really self-serving?
You could say that, sure, but I think it was. That boss had a lot of options in hand for Bobby's case. I mean, he could just as easily have fired him or had him transferred to some place where he never would have been heard from again. The point is that Bobby was wrong for the job, and that boss had a share in the responsibility for that. He didn't just toss Bobby in the garbage.
I like the fact that the boss is sensitive to Bobby's situation outside of work. You know, with his wife and his family.
Yeah, I like that too. But did any of you see any manipulation going on?
I think it might have just looked like manipulation just because the boss is in a position of power. So the same thing can be said about all kinds of companies.
I don't know. I think manipulation is an awfully loaded word. I mean, you have to consider motivation.
But is it ever right to manipulate somebody? I mean, isn't that going around with their free will?
I think that's a good question for anyone doing that. But for now, let's put the power issue aside. What about ministering to a co-worker or a customer?
I thought one.
Yellow through? Brown got it. This is our last one. Oh, good, because I'm getting mighty thirsty. Thank you. I'm ready for another one. What about you? What about you?
Oh, no.
So, but as I am saying, it's been a lot quieter, but it's been a lot nicer. You know what I mean?
So, for a while,
hey, I was only kidding. Don't go getting my items, okay?
I'm just concerned about you, that's all.
Well, you don't have to be. I don't like where this team is going.
What's the problem, Wendy?
I thought it was going fine.
Well, I see where Jenny is going with this, but I don't think the ministry should include that kind of method.
But I don't see that as meddling. I mean, those two characters we were playing, they work together every day, but that's not even the point. The point is that I was really concerned.
But you can't go around setting yourself up as a counselor.
Sometimes ministry involves taking a risk, including the risk of being wrong. It's not always going to be easy, and it's not always going to be a set of rules that you comply.
So you're saying Jenny was perfectly right. You can.
Well, what I'm saying is that Jenny was right to be concerned, and she was right in trying to act out that concern. There are a lot of people out there who are hurting. They need something. What they need may not always be easy or simple or even possible for us to give. But something else makes us want to try. So we become involved. We make their struggle our struggle, and that's always risky. Okay, let's take a short break.
Are you getting all this ministry stuff? I had some troubles with the beginning. We've done some scenes, huh? Well, I have one little problem.
What?
The whole premise. He really expects people to be thinking about ministry all the time. Now, most people can't get up to say without their minds wandering.
At least we've managed to think about it for a couple of bucks.
But when you leave here, what will you be thinking about? Life's too automatic for most people. Day-to-day survival. People don't have time for all these lofty thoughts.
I'm not sure ministry is such a lofty thing. I've seen so far been about pretty ordinary stuff. Maybe it's just a matter of paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now I want to raise a new question here. Let's say that we define ministry as a calling to serve God and our neighbor. Now let's see how far we take this. Can anything we do be of some use to God or some service to our neighbor? Is there something holy about not just a particular job, but any job?
Huh?
Why do you ask, Bobby? For money or applause?
Neither, sir, Bobby.
Why do any of you ask?
Would I do that?
I wouldn't be happy doing anything else.
So why do anything at all? Why not just spend our lives dozing in the sun? Because in our nature to do things, to create, to make an impact on the world. See, we're made in the image of God, creator. And we need to be creators and movers and gift givers, just like God. The universe is sort of like an unfinished building, and God has invited us to help finish it, and that's why we plant seeds and build cities, change structures, and act out scenes.
I always wanted to play God, except my agent didn't have the right connection.
I'm having trouble visualizing this.
What I'm getting is that everything we do in the world can be a way of serving God and our neighbor. Everything we do can be an occasion.
Well, what about jobs that don't contribute anything to anybody? I mean, I assume you're not going to be showing growth or terror.
No, of course not. Now, I'm not saying that everything people do is good by any means. In fact, sometimes ministry can mean confronting people and working to change.
Maybe you need to show some of that.
That's a good idea. I'll put it in. You know, I may be pushing this concept farther than it will go, but I want the people who see this film to look at what they do and ask themselves, how am I
serving God in my situation?
Well, what if the answer is I'm not serving God at all?
Then perhaps it's time to change yourself, or to change your situation.
Isn't that pretty idealistic? That people don't have that much control over this situation. I mean, there just aren't that many opportunities to do the really big things. But the little ones are around us all.
I don't know. I think I agree with Georgia. I mean, remembering birthdays, sending flowers, it's nice and everything, but don't you think that kind of thing is pretty much expected of us now? And the way I see it, ministry's got to be something more than just being nice all the time.
Well, what would you have done in that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I would have organized the strikes for more creative working conditions. Now that would be ministry.
And Jenny's gesture wouldn't be? Oh, listen, my character is deep in the mire of her own work. I doubt she's even thinking of the good thing. And if she was, she was probably wondering why it would matter. And then Jenny's character broke into all that. Now don't tell me that's not a ministry.
I didn't say it wasn't, Wendy. What I meant was, why do you always have to work within the system? I mean, why can't it be a ministry to change the system?
Most people don't have the power to do that.
Well, most people don't even try.
And what have you been doing to make the world a better place, Bobby?
You know, what I was trying to say in my scene is there's always something that you can do for somebody, even if it doesn't make a big difference. You know, be involved with the people around you, know when they're hurting, and show them that you really care.
Yeah, I still think you're looking for the easy way out, or opposite, if you prefer.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Just this. I can't remember one time in the Bible where Jesus said, have a nice day.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious. I mean, open your eyes, look around you, look at the world. I mean, do you really think that being nice is going to result in hungry people being fed or oppressed people being set free? I mean, are you really that naive or are you just kidding yourself?
Oh, I know you're tight, Bobby. You've convinced yourself that if only you were in control, the whole world would be saved. In the meantime, you set yourself up as some high court judge who wouldn't get your hands dirty or clean, for that matter, in any personal way. You know, you can't even deal with yourself.
You can say what you like about me, Wendy. I don't run around pretending to be a perfect person. But that doesn't prove that what I'm saying is the truth. And maybe I know your type, too. You're the type that turns away from any real suffering because you just so nuts, and you just couldn't possibly be a part of a problem, not you.
Wait a minute, what's going on here? You two have been fighting at one another ever since this thing got started.
I think it goes way back.
Well, it's gotta stop. I don't know very much about either one of you, but I'm sure you're both going to be comfortable. But Bobby, you can be awfully cruel. And Wendy, I don't know, maybe things haven't been going all that well for you. But you're pretty good at returning just what Bobby throws out at you.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong in defending yourself.
But is that what Bobby really needs, an equally vicious counterattack?
Why should I care what Bobby needs?
Look, I'm sorry. I guess I deserve whatever Wendy thinks of. Maybe my jokes aren't that funny anymore. But I always get away with them. I mean, everybody always laughs.
You're right.
Only somebody sort of told me.
Sometimes, Bobby, you've got to find that.
Shall we go on? Wendy, would you like to do the same? I'd like to try something. Go ahead.
Hmm.
even can.
That woman?
Well, you mean that lady?
Yeah, it looks like she's lost.
Looks like a bag lady.
Oh, I'm not so sure.
I'm sure she'll be fine. But there's the lady right here who needs some attention, too.
I'll be right back.
Bobby! Bobby! I don't want to lose you.
won't lose you either. I love you both very, very much. But dying is part of being human too. If it happens, I want to live it as fully as I've lived the rest of my life.
Wendy, can you hold it there just a minute? Would you tell us where you're going with this?
I'm showing that dying can be a ministry, a witness of faith for others.
Beautiful idea, Wendy, it really is, but you don't seem to need us at all.
We need a reason to be there. We need to feel useful. You're so self-assured. It's all in the head. Where's your feeling? I like what you're doing, Wendy, but let's give your character a little more vulnerability, like your children give you something.
All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You'll let us know if she gets part. Oh, you've got the part. You've all got the part.
Terrific. When do we start?
You already have.